Now, today we continue our journey with Moses and the Israelites as they make their way to the Promised Land. Last week they camped out at the base of Mount Sinai, and there they waited as Moses went up the mountain to speak with God. And it was there that he brought those stone tablets down and brought what God gave us, 10 commandments. And at that time, the people promised they would obey God and do all that Moses said to do. Well, today, we find them still wandering but getting very close to their goal. And I have to say, I'm a little sad that we don't have time to talk about the golden calf, which, although a very serious story, is actually pretty funny. And so I would encourage all of you this week sometime to go to Exodus 32 and see what you find there about the golden calf. But today we find ourselves in the book of Numbers, which in the Jewish tradition is actually called In the Wilderness. Now the Israelites are poised to enter the Promised Land, and God has commanded Moses to appoint 12 scouts to go and take a look at the land that they're about to enter. The account in Deuteronomy 1 actually says that the people themselves decided to send scouts ahead into the land. And that has been seen by some scholars as proof of the lack of faith of the Israelites. But however this scenario came about, we find ourselves with Moses having appointed 12 leaders, one from each tribe, and they are to go into the land to see what they see. And Moses gives them instructions before they go. He says to travel deep into the land, not to just hang out on the border. Have you ever been to Mexico? You know that the border of Mexico is much different than going deep into Mexico. So Moses tells them to go deep into the land and to gather information about the condition of the land for agriculture, to find out about the strength of the people living there, and to come and report back about the fortification of their cities. Now, believe it or not, for this one time, they actually followed his directions. And they got back about 40 days later, which, as we know, means a really long time. And they described the land as flowing with milk and honey and very suitable for agriculture. Actually, in a passage before today's reading, it talks about how they found grapes in that land, and they were so big, they had to cut them down and tie them to a pole, and two men had to carry those huge grapes back with them. So the land was quite suitable for agriculture. And then they start talking about the people and the cities that they saw. They say the people are giants, large and powerful, and that the cities are heavily fortified. Now, this, of course, gets everyone all worried, and they begin to have these little side conversations. Have you ever been in a meeting like that? Where all these little side conversations start springing up because somebody said something that some of the people get a little worried about. Well, they muttered, and then Caleb, who was a young man and one of those 12 scouts, stood before Moses and said, "Let's go at once and take the land. We can certainly conquer it." But the other scouts continued with their anxious descriptions. And finally, they say that bit about, "We felt like grasshoppers. We were so small, and everybody that saw us agreed with us. We really were small compared to them." Well, you can imagine what happens then. I mean, we've heard it before. I'm going to start in verse 1, chapter 4. It says this. Chapter 14, excuse me. It says, "Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, Or even here in the wilderness. Have y'all heard them say that before? Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. My. Things have not changed much in regard to human nature since the time of Moses, have they? Well, as you might know, God was not happy with this turn of events. And when the people say, let's find a new leader and go back to the way it used to be, they are in essence turning their backs on God. Yes, Moses was their leader, but Moses listened to God. He took his commands from God. And so turning to find a new leader was like saying, we're going to break that covenant we made with God. And what terrible memories they had. Didn't they remember that God had led them out of Egypt where they had been enslaved for 400 years? Didn't they remember the plagues and how they were spared from that misery? Didn't they remember how God parted the sea and they were able to pass through on dry land? And that even when Pharaoh's army came running after them, the water closed back and Pharaoh's army was drowned? Didn't they remember the manna and the quail that God provided for them in the desert? Maybe they had the same illness that many people have today, the inability to see clearly when confronted with change. Now, when things are hard, we have this unreasonable desire to stay in the middle of our misery instead of forging ahead toward a new goal. In Texas, we have a phrase for what it looks like to go to the next place, and that is to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get on with it. Now, most people, when confronted with a hard task that requires great change, will suddenly forget the circumstances that brought them to the need for change in the first place. It seems so much easier just to stay put, even if you are miserable. Oh, there's a saying for that too. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. In other words, familiarity, regardless of the quality of that familiarity, is better than something completely unknown. When faced with something new, we can become suspicious and afraid, and we'd rather deal with what we know than to confront something completely new. Now, the main problem in this whole story is really not the Israelites' fear. Fear isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, fear can protect us from danger. But in this case, the fear of the Israelites was really lack of trust in God, and that's different. God had brought them to this place for this moment, and it wasn't reasonable for any of them to believe that God would suddenly abandon them. The fact is, we learn the most about God and about ourselves when we are wandering in the wilderness. So here are a few things we can learn when we wander in the wilderness, the place where the old rules don't apply. Number one, there is no schedule. It takes as long as it takes. We aren't in control of the length of time in the wilderness or even what is coming next. Number two, fear wins when it gets the upper hand. Our trust in God has to be greater than our fear. Number three, it's tempting to turn back when we are confronted with change. But growth cannot occur as long as we insist on staying the same. And number four, God is more faithful to us than we are to Him. When we come to this table and take communion, part of our communion liturgy says, when we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. We are fickle. Our faithfulness, unfortunately, is often tied to our circumstances. When we allow ourselves wilderness time, we can soon find out that being in control is not always the best thing for us. Being in control might mean that we could limit our options or the options of the people we love, mainly because, and get this, we're afraid something bad might happen. Has anyone ever in the history of the world been able to control things to such an extent that something bad didn't happen? Bad things just happen. But allowing events to unfold and looking for God in the unfolding gives us a better way of walking through the wilderness. We are guaranteed that God will be with us. He has promised us that He will never abandon us. And just to bring this wilderness thing up, it's my opinion that every single day that we walk on earth is a walk in the wilderness. We are timid beings, and it is up to us to look for God even as we don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. Every single day is walking in the wilderness, and refusing to give up control has consequences. I think we look a lot like the Israelites. Now, every time we raise a concern out of fear, we put up barriers between us and God. And as a person who is part of a very large church, I have to say that the church is particularly good at this, bringing up things that we're afraid of. Did you notice that the Israelites used their kids as an excuse not to move forward? Our children will be plunder. How many excuses do we make about not changing in the church? We can't sing those new songs. They're disrespectful. That really might mean I don't know those songs and it's too hard to learn new ones. We can't change the service times. Some people might forget. That might mean I have a certain routine I follow every Sunday and it just might inconvenience me. We can't change the look of the building. Our ancestors built it. That could mean that building something new is messy and expensive. And anyway, things look just fine to me. They were good enough for my grandparents. They should be good enough for everyone else. There are so many, 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 many reasons that people in church don't want to change. And we're really, really good at making it look like we're doing it for someone else. But the fact is, most people in the church don't want to change because it makes us uncomfortable. We look a lot like the Israelites. Now, wanting to go backwards, let's go back to Egypt. Wanting to go backwards stunts our growth. I want you to think about this question for just a minute. How many of us here would allow our children to go back to elementary school because middle school was just too hard? None of us would allow that. Going forward is hard, but going backwards is harder. It feels comfortable at first. We're glad we're back in that familiar place, but pretty soon we are reminded of the stagnation, of the place that we return to. God created us to grow. Staying comfortable is a surefire way of staying the same. Now, this is important. The death of the old makes way for new life. You don't have to look far to know that. Just look out the windows. When the leaves fall off of the trees, it's going to look like the trees have all died. But just wait. In the spring, there will be new life. The trees have to fall. Something dead has to fall away so that new life can come. Clinging to what we've always done makes us stagnant. We look a lot like the Israelites. God is faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to Him. Even though the Israelites wanted a new leader, God remained faithful to the covenant that they wanted to break. By wanting a new leader, they were trying to break the covenant they agreed to, and they said, "We will obey God in all things." And they did continue to wander in the desert for 40 more years. Well, there was a reason for that. God gave them what they wanted. They wanted to keep wandering. And the old generation had to die off so that the younger generations could go ahead and move into the promised land when the older ones refused to do it. But God did not abandon them in the wilderness. They chose to stay there through their actions and through their stubbornness and, yes, through their fear. And although some of them were punished in the end, it was only because they insisted on doing things their way instead of God's way. You have to read the whole story to see what all happens. But through this story, we are reminded yet again that God's nature is a balance between mercy and justice. A balance between mercy and justice. There is a consequence for wandering away from God instead of wandering with God. We look a lot like the Israelites. Now, I have come to understand that the wilderness can be punishing, but it is not punishment. It is a place to grow. It is a place to get closer to God. It is a place to find out that being in control of every single detail isn't all it's cracked up to be. And it is a place to learn to overcome our irrational fears, not the ones that protect us from danger. We don't want to get rid of that fear. But we do have irrational fears, and wandering in the desert gives us time to reflect on that. The older generation in this story failed to learn the fundamental lesson of the first commandment: to fear, love, and trust God above all else. And all these thousands, with an S, thousands of years later, we are still trying to learn that. We are still trying to learn to trust God more than we trust humans. Every one of us has the opportunity to teach our children what it means to trust God. How do we do that? We do it by being examples of people who trust God. By modeling what it looks like to trust God more than we trust humans. May we learn that wandering in the wilderness isn't nearly as bad as going backwards. May we learn that God is faithful to us, even when we are not faithful to Him. And may we learn that it is right and good to spend our lives and learning what it means to be faithful to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.